If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There are two key words in these verses that we'll be dwelling on a great deal during these sessions together. One is the word continue. How does a person continue in the word of God? And how do you get usable so that you will be free to really be at your best in Christian service? The seminar is designed for people of all ages and has been widely participated in by people of all ages and with all types of gifts because it's intended to change us from the place where we are right now to being far more usable in the years to come. I'm going to ask you to read along with me, and in many of the sessions you will be asked to read out loud, but this morning I'm just going to ask you to read along quietly, silently, as I read out loud, and then I'll ask you to say a few things back as we move along. During the next few days, we will be dwelling on several major aspects of the life of a disciple. These aspects include the personal walk of a disciple, his study, his faith, his character, his witness, his attitudes, and his priorities. Our first instruction will be very basic, but it will be important to you for years to come. Has anyone ever taught you how to keep a spiritual notebook? If not, you may ask, what is a spiritual notebook? I think that's a fair question. The simple answer would be to say that what I'm holding in my hand is a spiritual notebook, but that's not the real answer. A spiritual notebook has been around for a long, long time, back from the Oxford movement. In fact, we have in history records of spiritual notebooks being kept by diligent Christians who wanted to grow. I did not discover the necessity of keeping an organized tool like this until about 13 years ago. And at that point in my life, I began to make a tremendous spurt or step forward of Christian growth, not because so much of just a tool, but the concepts and disciplines that go along with it. This week, and in these sessions, we're not just going to be talking about a tool, but a philosophy, a lifestyle, a way of being a disciplined follower of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, I'd like for you to write down in your notes the definition of a spiritual notebook. A spiritual notebook is a document. Line one. A spiritual notebook is a document recording what the Holy Spirit teaches me daily. A spiritual notebook is a document recording what the Holy Spirit teaches me daily. Now, if you have that, I'd like for you to say it with me in unison. I want this to be very graphic. I want us to look at the words together in just a moment of this sentence. Would you say it with me? A spiritual notebook is a document recording what the Holy Spirit teaches me daily. 1 John 2:27 says that we have a teacher, and this teacher is the Holy Spirit. Every believer, every child of God, has a professor, a resident teacher living within their very heart. And that, of course, is the Holy Spirit. He wants to teach us, not just daily, but on many occasions, hourly. And sometimes I find that He teaches me moment by moment. Now, as He teaches you, and He is the most important teacher in all the world, you need to be able to record, write down in a systematic fashion, the insights from Scripture, from the preached Word, from your devotional life, from experiences in life, the things which God says to you, and you need to be able to record them in such a fashion that you can use them in your life, in your ministry, and particularly as you learn how to train a Timothy. We're going to be talking a lot about the Paul-Timothy relationship during the sessions of the seminar. That being how an older Christian can take a younger, newer believer and save them many years of mistakes and hardship by teaching them how to live an effective and abundant Christian life. What is the purpose of the notebook? I'd like for you to jot down in the next section in your notes these words. It is a tool designed to help me organize and retain the blessings of God. It is a tool designed to help me organize and retain the blessings of God. One day I was attending a Bible conference in Houston, Texas, and Joe Blinko was teaching the Bible there, a man that's now gone to be with our Lord, a great expositor of the Word. A West Texas layman happened to be at that conference whom I knew quite well, a man that was quite advanced in years. We were walking along the street together at this conference, and I said, "Mr. So-and-so, what are you getting out of this conference?" And he said, "Billy, it's great." He said, "God is teaching me so much that my cup is full and literally running over." Not long after that, that very dear man gave a party for my wife and me out on his ranch because we were going overseas to do some mission work and evangelistic crusades for about 3/4 of a year and would be gone a long time. So at the end of that wonderful season of prayer and fellowship out on his ranch, I put my arm around the man and said, "Sir, wasn't that a great Bible conference we went to a few months ago? What has lasted, what has lingered with you since you went through that teaching of the Word?" He said, "Bill, my cup had a leak in it." Now, I think that typifies the average Christian. We'll go to a seminar like this or to some great institute, conference, revival meeting, or crusade, and our cups will be filled, but on a very temporary basis. We have a problem with retention. How many of you were born with good forgetters and you know it? You were endowed with a good forgetter. How many honest people here in this session? Wonderful. I want to speak specifically to you about this problem because I have perhaps a double helping of it. I can recall the first 9 years of my Christian life reading the Bible diligently. As a young lad, I was committed already to become a minister and became an evangelist, actually, as a very young man, and began preaching at the age of 13 and have been doing it ever since. But back in those times when I was just getting started, I would read the Bible and read it and read it, and it seemed as if I wasn't getting any place. No one had ever taught me how to retain the blessings of God. No one had ever talked to me about the fact that I had a retention problem, a reading problem also. And for 9 years I struggled trying to get the Word of God off of the page of the Bible into my life and into my heart. Many of you have had the same struggle. And as time went by, I began to realize that I was not making much progress. I was like a man on a treadmill, running, 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 but never getting any place. And at the end of each year, I didn't seem to know much more about my Lord or about His Word that I could communicate to another person than I had known the preceding year. Now, I want to read the next paragraph to you because it deals with this specific problem and many of you are going to relate to it. The Christian treadmill is best demonstrated by the common experience of the man who comes to the end of each year with little or no new usable knowledge in his Christian life. During the year, he was given valuable insights from the Bible, but these insights were forgotten. He had numerous spiritual experiences during the year, but he allowed the valuable lessons of those experiences to fade away. In short, he has not learned how, and I want you to say these words with me, how to retain God's blessings. Now, many of us spend a lot of time in prayer saying, "God, bless me. I would like for you to bless my life." But it doesn't do any good for him to keep pouring the Spirit of God and the blessings of God into a leaky vessel. We need to stop long enough, and I hope that these sessions will accomplish that in your life, to examine why you're not growing more than you are, why you're not already retaining the blessings which you're receiving at this time and have in past years. And if we do not deal with this problem, then God can continue to bless you on and on and on perpetually, and you will never have any significant take-home pay. End result, spiritual maturity or growth after many years of being in church. Traveling as an evangelist rather extensively in different parts of the world, I have been with many pastors speaking at pastors' conferences, and we've had many honest hours of discussion together. And I have found that one of the greatest frustrations that a minister has is knowing that most of what he says from the pulpit and what is said in Sunday school is not really taken to heart. A great portion of what is said is not remembered or retained. We lose too much of it. In doing some rather extensive research, and we're holding 260 of these seminars this year all over the country, so we're with many laymen and many pastors, we have found that there are only, notice this now in your notes, there are only so many hours per week that the average Christian gets in biblical intake. You'll notice that the problem is not dedication, blank one, but retention, blank two. The problem is not dedication, but retention. If you're dedicated, you'll be in church. That isn't your problem. If you're dedicated, you'll be at a Bible study. That's not your problem. The problem is, how do you retain what you get when you're there? You see the logic of this. In worship, Sunday services of different types, Bible study, we have found that the average dedicated evangelical Christian is only in church 180 minutes per week. And that's clear time now for biblical intake. 180 minutes per week. You'll jot that down in your notes where it says total intake, 180 minutes per week. The Air Force has done some research on this for their purposes, and we have allowed the Christian church to benefit from it. Industry's also benefited from it. In these next blanks, if you'll please write down a few figures, it will help you see what I'm saying. We forget 90-95% of what we hear within 72 hours. We forget 90-95% of what we hear within 72 hours. Now, that's only 3 days. I'm going to have a little fun with you for a moment. And I do this every place I go, and it's certainly not to pick on you, and it certainly is not to say anything about your wonderful pastor or staff or anything like that. This is something to help you learn about yourself. And if Dr. Graham or Charles Finney or anybody, dead or alive, were here last Sunday preaching, the results would be identically the same. How many of you can recall one or two meaningful insights that have lingered with you, have lodged in your heart and in your mind over the week since last Sunday, and you have meditated on the insights that the Lord gave you Sunday morning or Sunday night in worship, in church last week? One or two insights that have meant a lot to you and stuck with you. From the looks of your faces, there will be some of you that probably are having a difficult time remembering where you were last Sunday, much less what you heard from the pulpit or in Sunday school. This is a normal problem. It's part of your humanity. You see, this problem we have to deal with in school. How many of you here are college or high school students? Would you raise your hand? All right, that's a large number of you. How many of you make A's? How many of you wish you did? All right. Do you know, I have found that good students normally take good notes. Good students normally take good notes. And if you miss class, you're ill, and you come back, you want to get some notes to study, you quickly learn in the class whose notes to look at and whose not to look at. Correct? How many of you men make a living or try? You're involved in the making of money. All right, not many money makers. Let's see where the hands are. All right, if you're involved in the pursuit of business, making money, Do you not have to keep records on the money that you make? Certainly you do. And who will tell you if you don't? That's right, the Internal Revenue. All right, you must take notes on business dealings. Doctors, professional people have to keep elaborate records because they do not trust their what? Memory, retention factor. And yet we have the strange notion, somehow, that on Saturday night a great miracle occurs all over the world and that Christians get an audiographic memory so that they can come to church, enjoy themselves, and some looking more pious than others, but coming and sitting there and listening to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as if they're getting every bit of it. And I look out on congregations like this every week all over the country, and it's amazing to see how many people sit there and they look as if they're drinking in every word. And yet if you ask them what you preached on, what the message was on, what God was saying to them at the end of the session or the sermon, you'd be amazed to find out how many people do not even know what you preached on. Why? Is it lack of dedication? Certainly not. It's retention that's the problem. What I'm trying to say to you and rather graphically bring home to you is, it is more spiritual to come to church and take notes in Sunday school and in worship than to sit there and look spiritual and leave with nothing. If you have a choice, you need to begin to take thorough notes on the Word of God so it goes through your eye as well as your ear, and so you can transmit it to a younger, newer believer. Second blank that you need to fill in, we forget 70% of what we read in 72 hours. Third blank, we forget 50% of what we hear and read in 72 hours. That's why when I preach, I always encourage people to take notes. Because you see, if you're taking notes, first of all, you're going to hear it, and you're listening with a will to get it. By the way, that brings up a point. During the seminar, I am exceedingly sensitive to you, and I want to know if you're getting what's being said, not just intellectually, but in your will, in your inner man. And I'm going to ask you the question from time to time, get it. And when I say get it, if you've got it, I'd like for you to say good and I'll go on. Get it? Good. You didn't get it very well, though. Get it? That's better. Fine. During the seminar, I'll be doing this from time to time to see if you're with me and awake. Now, we remember 50% of what we hear and read. That's a pretty good average. And that's why you're going to get more out of this seminar than the average revival meeting that we would be doing here this week. The reason why is because normally in an evangelistic crusade or a Sunday morning worship service, the average Christian is not prepared to take notes, nor does he have a curriculum to follow. Your eyes and your ears will be involved, and therefore you'll retain up to 50% of what is taught in these sessions. Isn't that exciting to know that you're going to leave church and have it, at least half of it? Now, the next blank says we forget 10% of what we hear, read, and do. Did you notice in the gospel, but the epistle of James, that the Lord inspired the writer to say, be ye not only hearers of the word, but what? Doers of the word. Now, God knows about us. He made us. And if you want to really retain something, you must hear it, you must see it, and you must put it to practice. Now, I want to ask you to turn with me to the back side of your sheet, and I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to see now a biblical example of a great woman of God and how she retained and listened attentively to the voice of God on several occasions. You are probably familiar with the setting. It's particularly a passage that we like to read around Christmas time because it deals with the announcement of the coming of our Lord. Verse 8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. You remember that it was the shepherds that the angels spoke to. And the angels gave a universal message of blessing and glad tidings which would be to all people. They also identified how the shepherds might go and find the Messiah, the infant child in Bethlehem. And so they made their way down out of the mountains and found Joseph and Mary. And while they were in the little town of Bethlehem, they told a number of the people on the street what the angels had said and explained what the divine message that was given to them meant in just very simple words like a shepherd would use. If you'll look at verse 18, you'll find the response of the people on the street. And all they that heard it, that being the message of the shepherds, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, the word wondered, if you have different translations, means marveled. They were astonished. They were amazed at what they heard. If somebody came up to you on the street and told you that angels had appeared in the night sky in vast number and had said that a babe had been born which would be a blessing to the whole human race, would you not be amazed also? Certainly you would. They were amazed. But I want you to notice the qualitative difference of Mary's response as opposed to the people on the street. In verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and what? Pondered them. Where did she ponder them? In her heart. Now this is different than being astonished. How many of y'all recall watching the first walk on the moon by our astronauts? Did you see it on television? I think the whole world was watching. I, frankly, was amazed. I was astonished. I couldn't get off the television. I watched it until everything was over. But now when somebody goes to the moon or in outer space and I'm told about it, it doesn't astonish me anymore. I just kind of take it for granted. It's kind of second nature to me. Astonishment comes and goes quickly, comes, quickly leaves. Come with me mentally, though, now. Pondering is not like astonishment. When you ponder something, do you think of it once or many times? Many times. Over and over again, you think on it. That is what Mary did. She pondered it repeatedly in her heart. I'd like for you to turn to, in the same chapter now, to verse 49. Again, you will remember the context very quickly. Jesus had reached the age of 12. His mother and father had left him by mistake. He was talking with the scholars in the temple in Jerusalem, and they found him. And they said unto him, how is it that, and Jesus said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my what? Father's business. Now, is that an ordinary answer for a 12-year-old boy? Nothing ordinary about it. And I want you to see that Joseph and Mary really didn't understand or comprehend what he was saying. Look at the next verse. And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother did what? Kept all these things in her heart. I want to talk to you about Mary for a moment, and I really want you to come with me mentally and think of Mary. Why did God select Mary out of all the women in the world to be most highly blessed? What was the spiritual attribute in her life that made her such a great woman of God? I do not know all the attributes of Mary because we do not have that much in Scripture about her. But this I do know. When the angel Gabriel came and made the initial pronouncement that she would be overshadowed by the Most High and would give birth to the Messiah, she took it seriously. When God spoke, Mary listened. Secondly, when the angels spoke to the shepherds and the shepherds came and delivered the divine message from God, she listened, she pondered, she hid those things in her heart, and she did not forget them. 12 years passed. when God spoke to her through the voice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and said, "What, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? How is it you look for me?" She didn't take that lightly. She hid it in her heart along with those other sayings and began to ponder. And at the age of 30, it was Mary who initiated the public miracle ministry of our Lord. She had figured out more nearly his identity and understood better his mission than any living person. Can you imagine being a mother and having a child, living them with the 30 years, and they never sin? Don't you think you'd figure out they were different? It would finally begin to dawn on you, and you'd be pondering all those things that have been said in the past. Let me say this. You say, "Well, Billy, how does this relate to a spiritual notebook?" Two ways. One, when Mary heard a message from our Lord, whether it was through a humble shepherd or a mighty angel like Gabriel or the lips of the Savior, on all those occasions when God entrusted a word to her, she listened with her heart, not just her mind. She pondered on what God said. And I want to say this to you. Many of those of us who are Christians today need to learn how to ponder the Word of God. We come and listen lightly to that which is holy. We are not pondering it. We forget it. Now, you might say to me, as was said one time, "Well, Bill, if an angel came and spoke to me, I'd remember it." Well, let me say this. You don't listen to an angel every Sunday. And because of that, no offense meant, but you don't listen to an angel every Sunday. We listen to Sunday school teachers. We listen to laymen. We listen to our pastor. We listen to people that we love and who are close to us, but we began to take them for granted. And that's where we make a big mistake. We need to listen to the Word of God as if it's the first time we've ever heard it or the last time we'll get to hear it. And we need to write it down, because you don't know, it may be the last time you'll ever hear it. And you may need insights from that sermon the very next few days to minister to someone. And that's happened to me before. Now, I'm going to simply suggest to you one other small insight before we close. She kept the memory of her experience in her heart. And as time passed, she came to understand the meaning of her experience. Let me say this. Many of you have had experiences in your life which you, till this good hour, do not really understand. You've had a tragedy occur, or maybe some wonderful blessing. God's called you to do something, and you don't know why He chose you. But God has spoken to you through experiences which you've had, and you've had to meditate on them for 5, 10, 15, some of you 20 years or more. And still, it has been a slow process that God has revealed the meaning of those insights to your heart, just like Mary. We should not be impatient. I remember I was... Now, most people tell stories about playing golf with Billy Graham. I don't have such a story. My story is about the day I was his golf caddy. There is a difference. One day I was caddying for Dr. Graham, pulling his clubs, and I said, "Dr. Graham, is there much of the Bible that you still do not understand? Are there many verses that you struggle with?" He said, "Yes, Billy." He said, "There are a lot of them." He said, "Some verses I have prayed to understand for 20 years. And," he said, "till this good day, I do not understand those verses." But he said, "You know something? As the Holy Spirit sees that I need to understand those verses in my daily life, He will unlock that verse and open it up, and it will blossom for me like a beautiful rose or flower. And suddenly my eyes are open and I can understand it. Where a month ago I couldn't understand that verse, suddenly the Lord allows me to understand it." Slowly. Give us this day our weekly bread? No. Give us this day our daily bread. Day by day, He's wanting to reveal Himself to you, reveal His Word to you, but you've got to learn to take it seriously. Now, you'll be paying a price in terms of dedication of time to be involved in this seminar. That's good. It will cost you energy. It will cost you, in fact, a small amount of money for your materials. That's good. Because I think that we have gotten to the place where we have forgotten that discipleship is always related to going further and paying a deeper price, making a greater commitment than yesterday. In this seminar, my prayer will be that you will learn to continue in His Word, that you might not be just His converts, but His disciplined followers. Shall we bow together in prayer?